talking about the local church today. And I'm going to be sharing some things that I was sharing at Lee's Summit last Sunday. Did any of you watch that?
Yes.
Wonderful. You know, you ought to try to watch those services because many times the things we say, well, not many times, it will always bless you. So you ought to go to Ephesians 4:7. I'm probably going to change that. But remember this morning, Pastor Jay read our purpose. And the purpose was bringing people into encounters with God. So through Eberly Ministries and our churches, Spirit of Faith Family Church, Cedar Rapids, Spirit of Faith Family Church, Lee Summit, this is the purpose that we believe God has given us, because we really prayed about this and sat down and talked about the many things that God is asking us to do and came up with this tag statement, bringing people into encounters with God, empowering them to always be victorious in the spirit of faith. Bringing people into encounters with God, empowering them to always be victorious in the spirit of faith. Amen?
Amen.
So, are you in Ephesians 4:7?
Yes.
Let's go to Ephesians 1, actually. Let's go to Ephesians 1. I keep getting that more in my heart. I think my mouth is waking up, but we'll just call it awake.
Yes.
Somebody take that for me. Thank you. All right, moving right along. So Ephesians chapter 1, are you there?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. In verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's not talking about in heaven, so to speak, although we're all going to heaven. We'll be blessed in heaven, you understand. But it's talking about the life of God, the kingdom of God in our hearts, the heavenly places inside our heart. And we've got to learn what we have in Christ, what we can do in Christ, the tools that we have in Christ. And we know, I've been watching Pastor Nancy's broadcast on the greatness of God's power over and over and over, many of the broadcasts. I'm still getting that, kind of hit me back in the face a little bit, guys. I've been listening. I think I'm on like 23 right now. I haven't moved on to God's will because, you know, that's her new one, because I'm still listening to the greatness of God's power.
Yeah.
And many times if you listen to that while you're getting ready or whatever, I listen while I'm in the shower. Sometimes I can't hear everything, so I've got to listen to it over and over and over again. Or when I'm packing or what have you, I just, and then there's certain ones that, you know, you didn't quite get it, so you have to listen to it again. So a local church is a place that we find out what we have in Christ. And you could start out with who we are, what we have, and what we can do in Christ. What are the tools that we have? And we're going to talk about this a little bit, but go in verse 7. Verse 7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So the message of redemption has to be preached, has to be taught in the local church. This is not a social club. It's good that we get together in fellowship, but why are we fellowshipping around the things of the word of redemption? I mean, when we get together with the youth, with the next level, with the forerunners, it's not to talk about, oh, my hooga booga hurts today. It's not, oh, how about you, honey? Did your sciatic nerve start hurting in 1950?
Come on.
Like, Pastor Debbie, you just got off and you start meddling right off the... No, it's not a place we start talking about everything we're dealing with, everything the enemy's brought against us, sickness and disease and poverty and lack. It's a place that we can get together and we can talk about what we have in Christ. Now, if you need to agree together, we come together and pray the prayer of agreement. If you need people to encourage you, but it's it's not to get a group of ladies or a group of men around, it's usually ladies, you understand, but then I'm just saying, or a group of men around talking about everything that's wrong.
Right.
What's wrong with that picture? So that's not what we're teaching here. That's not what we're emphasizing. But at the same time, I'm not putting a secretive recording in your backpack or in prayer getting everything that you say and that you do and try to be your big kahuna.
Amen.
The church needs to teach about redemption.
Yes.
Jan, it's good to see you. I didn't see you there. It's good to see you. Love you. I said, hi, Jan. How you doing? Excuse me, I'm going to give her a hug. Is that all right? It's good to see you. Oh, so good to see you. I wanted to come see you, you know. Yeah. Father, we thank you for the power of God that's ministering to her body. Thank you, Father. She's come by faith. She's come by faith. And we thank you that it's working in her. In Jesus' name. Satan, you take your hands off of this precious lady. Thank you, Lord, for helping her to see. In Jesus' name. Healing and health, strength, blessing. Amen. Love you. It's good to see you. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Moving right along. It's just good to see our family, and we stand together with those who are dealing with challenges, because if it were known, all of us are dealing with challenges. We just don't let everybody know, and sometimes you can't help but let people know because you end up in the hospital or something, and everybody knows, right? Well, we're standing with them. Amen?
That's right.
We're your family. Amen. So we have redemption. We've been redeemed from spiritual death. We've been redeemed from sickness and disease. What else have we been redeemed from?
Poverty
and lack. And then in verse 11, in him also we have obtained an inheritance. See, that's what we're talking about, who we are in Christ. Just like you have a name, you have inherited everything that your parents have in that name.
Yeah.
My name started out as Thayer. Now it's Eberly. But as a Thayer, I grew up in a home, and I had access to everything in that home, and I had access to all the tools of that home.
Yeah.
If I wanted to go in the kitchen, turn on the faucet, if I wanted to go in the bedroom or whatever, I could use the tools of that home. You know, of course, until I got a certain age, and then I became an Eberly.
Yeah.
And as an Eberly, I have access to all the tools at Eagle Rock Ranch.
Yes. Yes.
I can walk around. I can be free on my property. You know, I keep telling Mom, that's your home too.
Right.
You know, you live there. You have access. You can come up and use anything, get anything in the refrigerator. I'm not one of those people. I understand if you set aside something for dinner or whatever. And I understand telling your kids don't eat everything so that we have something for dinner. I understand that. But, you know, if you want something, just get it. It's there. Praise the Lord. Border house reach. So in him also we have obtained an inheritance. So we have an inheritance, and we have a name. And that name, we are under the name of Jesus Christ. We are in him. Everything that he has, we have. Everything that we have, he took on the cross. And he became everything that we need. He became sickness so that we would be healed.
Yes.
He became poor so that we would be rich.
Yes.
Amen? Amen? He died spiritually and went to hell. Why? So that we would have life and have it more abundantly and have a home in heaven.
Yes.
So that's our inheritance. And we have a healing covenant. We have we are healed. We are whole. In Exodus 23, there it says that he took sickness out of the midst of them. That's talking about health. It's a divine health. It's not just taking healing or healing a part of your body, but it's the whole, eat the whole roll, so to speak. That's how I like to say it. What does this have to do with the local church? This is the message that we are emphasizing. Who we are in Christ. What we have. What do you have in Christ? You have redemption.
Right. Amen.
You've been redeemed.
Yes.
From any destruction, anything that the enemy is trying to bring on your life that is destructive, you have been freed from that in Christ.
That's good.
That's the message of the local church.
Yes.
So if you want to become a member of the local church, understand why you're becoming a member. And Pastor Jay said, you know, it's not giving you brownie points in heaven. It's kind of like a man and woman when they make a commitment to one another. And this is an illustration that Pastor Jay, I believe, said here in the last couple weeks. If a man and woman are going to get married, they make a consecration to one another. They make a commitment. And it's really a formal commitment in front of a public assembly that before God, before man, before one another, I love you. They've already said they love it. You know, they've already made that very clear, but it's a formal commitment and it's of the heart.
Yes.
And they're showing forth that commitment. And really becoming a member of a local body is, it's kind of like a very similar thing is being baptized into water. You're showing a formal commitment. You're going public with the fact that you're already saved.
Right.
With the fact that old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. In other words, you let the past go and you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your controller, and you've been immersed into the body of Christ.
Right. Amen.
But it's a big body.
Yes.
Now, back in the day of Acts, the church started out as just one assembly.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that word assembly because Pastor Jay brought that out as well. It started out just one and then it grew. I think they grew to like 3,000, then they grew to 5,000, and then it just kept growing and growing. And then they scattered. Remember, Stephen, he was a helps minister there in chapter 6. He was a man of faith. He was a man of wisdom and of the Spirit. And they asked him to be somebody that helped to serve the tables so that the disciples could have more time in the Word and in prayer. But Stephen gave himself in faithfulness. He was a man of wisdom, and he was a man of wisdom, so that meant that he was a man of faith. Because in Matthew 7:24, it says, those that are hearers and those who are doers become wise.
Yes.
So he was not just a man of faith. He was a man of faith, a man of wisdom, and a man who followed the Holy Spirit. And he obviously had a call of God on his life. But where did you start? In helps ministry.
Yes.
In helping serve tables. So that the pastors, so to speak, could give themselves to the Word of God and to prayer. And sometimes Pastor Jay and I get, sometimes we get a little bit, I can't quite find the word for it, but sometimes there's a lot of the business side of things that come on us.
Right.
And we just want to give ourselves more to prayer. Sometimes I sit down and I just want to pray for people.
Right.
And I got this to do and this to do and this to do. And you know, honestly, the church and pastors need to teach this. The church and the members in the church getting a heart to help the pastor do the natural things in the church so that the pastor can give themselves more to praying for the congregation. Because I love to pray for the congregation, and I do pray for the congregation, but there are times when it's like, I need to do this more. I need more time to pray for the congregation. Now, understand, I'm not the only one praying for you, so don't just live your life waiting for me to pray for you. All right? First of all, you need to pray for yourself, pray for your family, but pray for one another.
Yes.
Understand that Stephen had a call in the ministry, but he understood that he needed to be established about who he was in Christ, first and foremost, as a man of faith and a man of wisdom and a man of the Spirit. He needed to know the tools that he had, and then he started sharing those things. He was faithful to grow his local church.
Yes.
If everybody in the local church would show up to their helps ministry position, oh, Pastor, we've heard this. I know. Well, I guess you'll hear it again. If we all would show up at our helps ministry position, you don't understand. I had this coming the way, and I had this, and I've got this family member dealing with this. I understand.
Yeah.
Everybody in here has something. And this isn't a message of condemnation. I'm just reminding you of why we're in the local church.
Yes.
It's to help reach out.
Yes.
It's to help grow that local church. So if everybody's faithful to the local church, and it's not just about everything at home, it's not just about everything at their job, it's not about all the natural things around them, then the local church, the message of the local church will start growing. And the signs and the wonders and the miracles will start growing. You understand that you need to walk in love in your home. You understand that we need to reach out to those at our work. You understand that we need to reach out to those in our world. But how many know that if you don't give of your substance and of your time and of your faithfulness to the local church, then there's not a place that people can come and grow. There's not a place that we can feed the babies. There's not a place that we can grow them up. And we need your help for that. So we're pastoring two churches right now, but honestly, you're helping us pastor those churches. Pastor, I didn't sign up for that. Neither did we. We just said yes. So I guess you'll have to determine in your heart if you're going to say yes or no. Okay. All right. You know, Pastor Jay and I asked if people would help, but we didn't ask you actually to sign up for it because I'll be honest, we signed you up already. We signed you up. Now, whether you show up is up to you. I'm talking to the choir because you're here right now. So we're talking about what it means to be in the local church. And in verse 11 again, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. And let's go on to verse 15 there. But you've been predestined, you've been called, there's a purpose, there's a plan of God for your lives. I believe that God brought you in this church for a purpose. And sometimes we can get off that purpose. Sometimes we can get distracted. Sometimes we can get bored. Sometimes we can start ministering to certain ones. And I'll be honest with you, you should minister to your family. You should be reaching out. You should be praying for them. But if it gets to a place to where you're out of the church all the time ministering to family, then there's a problem. Then you're going to have to start using your faith in that area. And you're going to have to get creative about not missing church and helping them before and after church and before and after your helps ministry positions. Because if you don't do that, I'm telling you, the devil will accommodate you and you will never have time to come to church. So if we don't teach people, don't get distracted. You can reach out. You can love people. You can be a blessing. You can have people over to your home and preach, pray, and prophesy. You can help your family. You can do all these things. But if it distracts you from the local church and your helps ministry positions, and it's not Pastor Jay and I getting in your face and getting mad at you. We're just trying to help you. And we're trying to also fortify this local church so that we have what it takes to grow into the next levels of what God wants for this church. So understand what you're signing up for. Understand what we signed you up for. Understand that. Because there's a purpose. There's a plan. And there are things I would use. There are times in our lives that sometimes God will allow us to do some natural things or allow us to have some positions in natural arenas or what have you, even for those maybe who are called in ministry. But I like what Dr. Dufresne said. He could only give himself to so many hours a month in the natural things of business or something, or he'd start getting off. Well, if you're not called in the ministry, of course, you need to work or you don't eat, right? And then Stephen, he started out with a job, I'm sure, and then also in the helps ministry. And then he started, when they scattered, then he started stepping out and preaching the word of God. Of course, he was murdered. He was killed. But he stepped into a five-fold ministry office, so he didn't have as much time as before to be in the helps ministry part. But understand, he had been moved up to more of a traveling ministry at that time. Well, moving right along. So in verse 15, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So this was a prayer that Paul emphasized. Yes. So understand, if he emphasized this, this is what we need in the local church. Yes. This is what we need to be praying for one another to get revelation of. This is what we need to be praying for the pastor, the family in the church, our family, physical family, our bosses, the people around it. I mean, if you're praying for somebody, you ought to be praying these along this line.
Amen.
And this is a revelation that we have, and Pastor Nancy's been bringing that out in her broadcast, in her Daily Healing Bread. Is it Daily Healing Bread or Jesus a Healer? I still call it Daily Healing Bread. Well, I'm moving right along. She has a book along that line. So Jesus the Healer broadcast. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So Pastor Nancy, in the middle of that, she encapsulated, and I've said it several times, but I'll say it again. Number one, we need to know who we are in Christ.
Amen.
We need to have a revelation. We need to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation of who we are in Christ.
Amen.
And then we also need to have a revelation of what we can do as believers in Christ.
Amen.
Our authority, what we can do. And number three, we need to understand who we are, what we have, and what we can do in Christ. It's easy to get mixed up. But anyway, moving right along. If you own a home, and we've used this illustration before, so if you're in your home and you need to use the facilities in the bathroom, you go to the bathroom, right? If you need to go make coffee in the kitchen, you go in and you get the coffee maker, you get the water, you put it in there, you go use that. How many know that you had to, at one point in time, learn how to use that coffee maker? So we need to understand the tools of how to use all these neat gadgets in the home.
Amen.
We need to understand, I mean, as children, you grew up learning how to use the faucet. As children, you grew up, you know, mom telling you how to use the shower, how to turn this on, close the shower curtain so that you don't get scum all over the place, you know. You had to learn these things.
Yes.
I mean, they had to teach you that.
Yes. Yes.
Clean up after yourself.
Yes.
Use disinfectant. They taught you these things. In the body of Christ, we have a lack of teaching on the things that will put us over in this life. We have a lack of teaching on the things that will help the local church grow. We have a lack of teaching that will help the church understand who we are in Christ. In the book of Acts, they had the signs, they had the wonders, they had the growth. They went out, and as a result of the word of God being preached and the boldness of the Spirit coming on them and the signs and the wonders, they went out and they got other people saved, and then they brought to the church daily.
Yes.
And they went house to house, so we know that there were local churches in the body.
Yes.
Now, we have many, many churches. And we have Baptist churches and Pentecostal churches and Word of Faith churches and this First of the Holiness Church and whatever.
Come on.
But back in that day, they started out with one church.
Right.
But then they started moving to house because they got so big.
Yes.
3,000, 5,000, several thousand. They scattered, and then churches around the world.
Yes. Yeah, right.
So you understand that people that say, well, we just have one universal church. Yeah, with a lot of bodies.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That would be like saying there's one universal person that we're walking in.
All right, come on.
No.
Come on.
I'm not. I wasn't going to sit on your lap, Casey. I'm just saying. No. There's lots of bodies.
Right.
So we're not adhered to one another.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And I want you to go to the book of Acts.
Amen.
I want you to get a picture of that. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. What does that mean? Well, we're fixing to tell you. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. And we know that that promise of the Father was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That was the purpose. And they were assembled together with them. Now, notice something. Pastor Jay brought this out. To be assembled isn't the same as just attending.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were assembled and they had a purpose. Remember? They were predestined to God's purpose.
Yes.
And so there was a purpose in this meeting. There was a purpose that they were together in one accord. And they were waiting for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And they were waiting for their marching orders, so to speak.
Amen.
All right? So let's move on here to verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and with his brothers. And let's read there. So one accord means with one mind. There were several books. I know Paul wrote in Philippians, be of the same mind together.
Yes.
And really that mind, that word means calculate, give of the same, be of the same opinion. So it means to renew your mind to God's word. Be of the same mind. We're not coming to church and one person believes in healing and then one person doesn't believe in healing. One person over here believes in tithing and offerings, but somebody over here, I don't believe that that's for today. No, we need to be of the same mind.
Yes.
When we become members of a body,
yes,
of a local body, we need to understand that the pastor is going to have a purpose for the services based on what the Holy Spirit has told him.
Yes.
And we come in here and we have a basic plan, but the Holy Ghost can change that at any time.
Yes.
So what do? We come in here and we have praise and worship. Why? Because we're getting you in one accord.
Yes.
We're getting you focused on the Lord. We're getting you focused on the presence of God. We're helping you,
yes,
to openly receive the corporate anointing in this family.
Yes.
And letting God move. And then we have the tithe and the offering. Well, God commanded us to teach people.
Amen.
About the tithe and the offerings.
Amen.
So we do that. It's part of the service.
Yes.
It's part of spiritual worship.
Yes.
It's a learning. It's a training.
Yes.
It's helping people to prosper. Amen.
Yes.
It's part of our redemption.
Yes.
So then we have the teaching and the preaching of the word. Pastor, this is so, I know, but I want you to get in your head an understanding of what the local church is for and what,
yes,
you really would be joining.
Yes.
Why are we part of a local church? There's a purpose. There's a pakunde, tantush dandeko oshanda pahasto kivate. So don't say in your heart, I don't know why I'm coming here, because there's a purpose and there's a plan for you that I predestined from the beginning of time. And if you'll say, Father, I want that plan, I want that purpose, I will help you flow into it in this body of believers. So don't say, I don't know why I'm here. You know why you're here, because the Hotandai, the Holy Ghost has taught you and brought you, and now say, rise up and say, I'm here for a purpose. I'm here for a plan. I'm here to help the kingdom of God, and I'm here so that this local body can be involved. I'm here for a purpose and a plan. Hallelujah.
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 Well, just lift your hands and thank Him. Thank you, Father. We're here for a purpose and a plan. And God's not through with us yet. Jan, He's not through with you yet. Symptoms may try to come against us, but He's not through with you. You still have a mind. You still have a body. You still have authority in Jesus' name, and He's not through with you. And there are times when symptoms will come against our bodies. There are times when I've been laying there in bed sometimes and symptoms try to come, and these thoughts will come against, like, what? Is it worth it?
Come on.
How about you? You ever been there, done that?
Yes.
Well, if you haven't been for. Because the enemy will try to come against you and take you out of this life. But if you're in a local church and you're learning who you are in Christ, if you're learning, you've got a tool of the faith of God inside of you. You've got authority in the name of Jesus. Then you, in your bed, right there, when those symptoms come, you can say no. And you can call your body healed, and you can call your body whole, and you can just say, ha, 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 because I'm healed, I'm whole. I know about my covenant because I've been in the places that are conducive for spiritual growth. I've been raised right. I haven't been orphaned. God brought you to a family, a body of believers to teach you. So that when some, and if you've got to go to the doctor, if you need to get surgery, so what? Just use wisdom. I mean, I don't want to have to get surgery or want to have to go to the doctor or want to have to take medication. And I'm led by the Lord in all of that type of stuff. But if that's something that you are led to do, you just do it in faith. You do it in faith. There is no condemnation to you. And just be glad that you're in a body of believers that can stand with you wherever you are. Amen. Well, that was all free.
That's real good.
With one mind, these all continued in one accord. And that wasn't talking about a Honda. All right. Have you ever heard the story? In the church, and the woman ran out. Somebody stole my Honda. And they were praying for her to get the Holy Ghost. That's right, sister, you got it. Somebody stole my Honda. No. She was saying, somebody stole my Honda. Somebody stole their car. Well, anyway, they moved right along. Pastor Jay would tell that and probably funnier. All right. I kind of messed it up, but that's all right. It's all good. All right. Now, Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, I like what Pastor Noel Ramos said. You ought to take notes and put them in your Bible there. Yeah. Pastor Ramos said, God has to do some things before the fullness can come.
That's good.
See, when you come to a local church, you have not entered into fullness yet. You've got to understand who you are in Christ.
That's right.
You've got to understand what you have, what you can do in Christ, the tools that you have. You need to the teaching and the preaching of the word.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, we come to church and we have the praise and worship. There's a purpose for that. We have the tithe and offering. There's a purpose for that. We have the preaching and teaching of the word. There's a purpose for that. Sometimes we lay hands on the sick. There's a purpose for that.
Yes.
There's ministry. There's a purpose for that. And we are assembled together like pieces of a puzzle. That's what Pastor Jay was talking. I love that illustration.
Yes.
Assembled together, not just attending.
Right.
In other words, you're not just a mixed up picture of a puzzle, but you're assembled together. And all the parts work effectively to help one another.
Amen.
Amen. Well, moving right along. So let's move on to Acts 2, verse 40. Acts 2, verse 40. Is this all right?
Yes.
And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Now, that word perverse means crooked. And we'll expand on that a little bit. But in the local church, you will be taught how to turn away from sin.
Yes. Amen.
You will be taught how to turn away from sin, how to get over addictions,
yes.
How to be free in Christ, how to walk in love. Now, we can't do it for you. I cannot go home.
That's right.
I am not the button on the table that says, "Don't yield to that. Don't yield to that. Don't yield to that." But you will remember in the service at times I say, "Shut up!" Talking to the devil. "Shut up! Get out of here!" No, I'm not yielding to that. So you're going to hear your pastor. You're going to... I tell you, I don't know. It's almost every day of my life, there's certain things I come to and I hear Pastor Nancy's voice. Why? Because she's my pastor. And I think, "No, I'm not going to do that." She'd say, "That's stupid." "I'm not going to do that. Don't want to be stupid." In love, of course. Now, and with many other things, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So in the local church, you're learning how to be an overcomer.
Yes.
Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. You're going to learn about your covenant, your redemptive rights and privileges of health, healing, prosperity, blessing, deliverance from spiritual death, seeing signs and wonders and the miraculous, so that you yourself can take these tools at the local Walmarts, at the local stores, in your places of employment. Don't be weird, okay? I'm just saying.
Amen.
Don't forget that clause. Don't be weird. Do your job. But I'm talking about maybe during your break and you're sharing with somebody that's really hurting on the job or what have you. See, we should be seeing these signs and wonders outside of the local church. But if you aren't learning about them inside the local church, just like King Saul, the Spirit of God came on him and he began to prophesy. When you're around the atmosphere of your local church and the Word of God is being taught and the Holy Ghost is moving, things will be imparted to your life and you're going to start noticing a boldness. Now, you need to give yourself to the Word, give yourself to prayer, give yourself to praying in the Holy Ghost to build yourself up on your most holy faith, right? And when you're going to start seeing impartations have taken place in my life. I'm not an orphan. I'm in the know. I've got revelation in my life because I'm in the right places that are conducive for spiritual growth. This is not just a social club. This is not just some place where we have, where, you know, just a congregation can come and meet and say, "Hey, Ella, how you doing today? Hey, Katie, what's up?" I mean, somebody the other day, just a little kid, I was walking around the neighborhood and Lee Summit, he's like, "What's up?" I'm like, "What's up?" Did that help me spiritually? No, he's just being nice. I understand that. But some people, they just think that it's all about the fellowship. You know, two fellas in a ship. I understand. It helps us all. But coming to the local church ought to be a plan and a purpose, a predestined purpose of God to receive impartations. To be filled with the Holy Ghost. To get saved. If we're not seeing people get saved, if we're not seeing people get filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And here's another thing to that. You need to bring them.
Yes.
So they can get saved, so they can get filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
If we do not have boldness to get people saved outside of this local church, in our jobs and wherever we're good, thank you for your excitement about that. I appreciate it. Some of you are sitting there like,
right? Well, come on. Come on now.
If you get excited about it, it's gonna work for you.
Yeah. Come on.
We gotta get ourselves by the nape of the neck and say, body, you're gonna line up.
Yeah.
Enough of these symptoms, enough of things. I'm not missing God's plan and his purpose. There's a reason you're here. And it's not to fall asleep in the pew. Excuse me. Time for a drink. We had a lot of boldness going on there. All right. We've got to get excited about it. Verse 44. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods. And we talked about that. That was God's plan and the Holy Ghost moving on them at that time because of the persecution, so on and so forth. That doesn't mean you need to go home and sell everything and give it to everybody in the local church. There's nowhere that says you need to have to do that.
That's right.
But it does say that we need to be of one accord.
Yes.
And we need to have hearts of giving. There's
yes.
plenty of scriptures along that. We need to be good works.
Yes.
We need to do things that benefit the house of God, so on and so forth. Now, verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. And I looked at that and it says to their own house.
Yeah.
So to their own local assembly, the church got so big that they started having churches in their homes
yeah.
under the supervision of the disciples.
Right.
Okay. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. Why? Because they were organized.
Right. Yeah.
Because they had a purpose, they had a plan,
yeah.
they were together, they were assembled,
yeah.
they weren't just
yeah.
attending the service
right.
and saying, well, I don't know about this church, I'll just come and see if God wants me here, or, you know, come every 5 Sundays. That really helps a lot, right?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. See, I know that LaDonna's going to be here unless she's out of town.
Right. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know that I'm going to see her on Wednesday or Sunday unless she's out of town on vacation or something like that. And that's a blessing. And there's several others. I know you're going to be here.
Yeah.
And it's a blessing. And I get excited when I'm preparing the message thinking, oh,
yeah.
I bet that oh, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
LaDonna's going to like this.
Yeah.
Ann's going to like this.
Yeah.
Leanne's going to like, they're going to like this.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jared, he's going to start dancing, okay? I mean, we get excited. Excuse the term, you understand. Maybe you don't look at it this way, but we get excited about our kids.
Yeah.
And getting the word to get praying and getting what God wants for the
yes.
service. And then we get to open it up to
yes.
you and that you get revelation of things and we see you growing. We get excited about that.
Yes.
But when you're here and we don't see your face, then impartations aren't going forth. And there's no condemnation. I'm just saying, when you become a member of a local church, you're part of assembly. And it says, forsake not the assembling together of the believers. You're just not an attender here and there. So don't get it mad at me. I'm just preaching, teaching. And I'm just saying what helps us. And there's some people, it's like, oh, they're probably not going to be there this Sunday. Well, okay. Well, Leanne's going to be there, so I know I can say this. I'm serious. All right, moving right along. No condemnation. I understand people got things coming up, but we're talking about assembling in the local church and what helps the pastor, and we're excited, you know. We're excited because we know you're going to be here. It's like, yay. We're going to go have church tonight. We're going to be with the fam tonight. You understand? I'm going to be with my family tonight.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, move right along. All right. So, praise the Lord. Let's go to verse 19. Chapter 3, verse 19. Repent! That's what it says. All right. I just wanted to wake some of you up. Verse 19, repent therefore and be converted. See, we were talking about that before. What's that verse back there? Yeah. Be saved from this perverse generation or this crooked generation. Notice that word repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So the purpose is to give you the word so that you can turn away from things. Yes. That are hindering you, that are hindering your spiritual life.
Yes.
And to repent just means to make a turn.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Too many pastors are afraid to preach and teach. And you don't hear Pastor Jay and I up here necessarily saying, repent, repent. But you hear us talking about the love of the Father.
Yes.
And as we get a revelation of His word, we're going to want to turn.
Yes.
And not to get distracted from things that will keep you away from revelation.
Right.
Yes.
Because the more you miss, the more revelation you'll miss. I'm just saying. You don't want to miss out on revelation. It may be the revelation that you get in a service. And you can't always get it all over live stream.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, some people don't come. They don't go to live stream either.
Right.
Yeah. And then they come back. It's like, everything's fine, good. But the thing is, if you're not getting revelation, it's going to start showing up in areas of your life. But you understand, Pastor Debbie, I have a prayer life. I get in the Word. I don't need to come to church all the time. So I guess God lied about it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Forsake not the assembling together of the believers. Now let's go to that scripture. Because we read that, but we're going to go a few verses prior. So Hebrews chapter 10, and we normally go to 25, but we're going to start a little earlier than that. Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to start there in verse 19. Hebrews 10, 19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with the true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from what?
An evil conscience.
And our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This is a place where you can learn boldness. This is a place you can learn that you have forgiveness by the blood of Jesus.
Right.
This is the local church is a place where the word of God is taught, and you are learning about your assurance in Christ.
Yes.
Like Pastor Jay, he preached a wonderful message about words and faith last Sunday. You're learning who you are in Christ,
yes,
and what you say matters.
Yes.
What you say will come to pass. If you believe it in your heart,
that's
and
right,
you say it with your mouth, it will come to pass. So my Bible is telling me that forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, exhorting one another. If we're forsaking,
yeah,
my mouth is still waking up. I'm just saying. If we're forsaking the assembling of ourselves together,
yeah,
then we are forsaking revelation.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we are forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, then we are forsaking our covenant rights and privileges.
That's right.
Why? Because it affects our assurance.
Yes.
Anything that we're doing in that is opposed to what God's word says, it affects our assurance.
Right.
Because we are to be believers.
Yes.
In the name. And we are to use our faith. We are to be believers, and we are to use the name of Jesus. And let's just go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3. And we'll just bring that out very quickly. I guess it's almost getting time to commence to wrap up here. It says in verse 18, 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. By this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And what are the main commandments that he's talking about? This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. That we should believe and that we should love. But we're getting that message, we're getting that revelation in the local church. He set it up that if we forsake the assembling together, then really we're forsaking getting the revelation of what it truly means to reach out, what it truly means to walk in love, what it truly means to believe, what it truly means to help the local church grow, what it truly means to get so built up with the word and the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the boldness that we can go out and minister and get people saved, and just like they did in Acts chapter 6, and that's where we're going next. Acts chapter 6. Verse 1. Now in those days, Acts 6, 1. Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, or the Greek-speaking Jews. That's what Hellenist means. Because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. So we have a lot of neglect going on in the local church. Now, we shouldn't get a neglect spirit. We shouldn't be coming to the church thinking everybody needs to reach out to me and do this for me, and I need money, and I need this, and I need the other. But at the same time, the church needs to look around and not allow people to fall in the cracks. So if we don't show up, we're not getting revelation how to use our faith and how to help other people. Yes. It's not just about giving money. It's not just it's about being there for people. Yes. It's about when people are hurting, we're able to just sit down in a chair and minister to them. Yes. So when they said that they were serving tables, you understand these people were getting together because the persecution was so strong that they had to come together like that. And they were actually coming from afar, and I mean, large groups, and they were eating together and what have you. So they needed people to help distribute the food.
Right. Yes. Amen. Yes.
But at the same time, these were people, they said, to find those who were, therefore, brethren, there in verse 3, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. Yeah. Why do they need to be of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom? Because we know that the leadership in the local church, the staff in the local church, the helps ministry in the local church needs to know how to reach out to other people.
Yes.
With their faith.
Yes.
Needs to know how to get people healed.
Yeah.
Needs to know how to sit down with people and tell them, hey, this is how you can be prospered.
Yes. Yeah.
Not preaching, praying, and prophesying necessarily this is what, you know, I think you ought to do. But just sharing the scriptures with individuals.
Amen.
Because you're so full yourself, and faith is growing in your own life, and you're blessed, and so you're able to share with others.
Yes.
Right.
But if you don't show up, how can you help other people?
Right.
If you don't show up and you don't get revelation of who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ and what you can do in Christ, how can you help other people?
Right.
Yes.
If it's all about us and our home and all of our lives outside the local church, how can we help the local church grow?
Yes.
But I will say this, you've got a life outside of the local church.
Yes.
But the local church is what helps the Word of God get inside of you.
Yes.
So that you can be a blessing to your family.
Yes.
So that you can be a blessing to your job.
Yes.
So that you can be a blessing to those that you come in contact
Yes.
with. So I like to put it this way, it's not put God first, then your local church, then your family, then your job. It's just across the board, what are we doing to glorify God? We're putting Him first, therefore our local church is in the right place. We're putting Him first, therefore we're reaching out to those that are lost in our jobs and everywhere we go.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Sometimes we forget a purpose.
Yes.
Sometimes we forget the plan.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's all about ourselves and what we need, and it's not about coming to the local church for revelation on how we can be a blessing and see the local church grow.
Yes.
Are you going to help the local church grow?
Yes.
Are you going to be about the Father's business and not just about what you need?
Yes.
Are we going to be, do we have a heart to help? I have a heart to help Pastor Nancy.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about her now being on a broadcast that is reaching millions of people. Now that word is going forth. Do you know that I had a part to play in that? I'm just saying.
Yes.
I had a part to play in that because there have been times where we've given of our substance. There have been times we come to the meetings and support
Yes.
the ministry there.
Yes.
So I'm excited about what God is doing and what He will continue to do. And now God wants to help us grow up
Yes.
and do more.
Yes.
He wants to help. It gets to a place... I may have to pop a few balloons in here. You may have thought that once you got to retiring age, it was going to be about being able to spend more time at home and watch your favorite programs and go visit the grandkids all the time. But according to my Bible, being assembled together in the local church, we're constantly growing up.
Yeah.
Getting revelation of who we are in Christ, what we have and what we can do, and we're reaching out more. When we go to the local McDonald's, I don't go to McDonald's, but anyway, when we go to the local restaurants or what have you, it's all about, is there somebody hurting over there? When we come to the local church, it's like, God, what do I need to learn to be more of a blessing in my life? What do I need to do? I need to pray for my boss more. I everything that we do, we're going to grow up in Christ. Why don't you stand up? We're going to grow up in Christ, and we're going to learn to be skilled and proficient.
Yes. Amen.
Remember Stephen. He started out by serving tables.
Yeah.
And God used him to add to the church signs, wonders, and miracles.
Yes.
And then he went home early.
Yes.
You may say, well, he missed half of his life. I beg to differ.
Yes.
His life was spent
Yes.
for the things of God.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with having fun, with going on vacations. Why don't you give me a little music in the background? There's nothing wrong with watching some programs. There's nothing wrong with having fun and playing sports and going fishing and doing fun things. But if we're not growing up, if we're not gaining a revelation that everything we do should be first and foremost, to grow the kingdom of God. And the first way that we can really help grow the kingdom of God is help grow our local church. Because that's the place where revelation is going forth. That's the place where people are becoming skilled in using their faith. That's the place where people are learning about their redemption. And if we don't grow the local church, then people are going to be neglected. If we aren't assembled in the right place, people are going to be neglected. So we need people that have hearts to become members of this local body and to understand what they're signed up for. We're not asking anybody to leave the church because you're not doing enough. I believe that if we all just put our hand to do what God's dealing with us to do, we'll have more than enough help. I'm not going to tell you what you should, you should tithe 10%, but I'm not going to tell you what you should give. I'm not going to tell you. That's, you need to be led by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And Pastor Jay and I, we make a commitment to you to help you find God's purpose.
Right.
I can't do it for you. To help you find God's plan for your life.
Yes. Right.
There are people in here that have a call of God on your life. Don't get distracted. Don't get distracted by wanting to be with family all the time. Don't get distracted. I'm talking about the natural family. I understand. I got family. I love my family.
Yeah.
Come on.
I love them. But I cannot spend all my time with my natural family and neglect my spiritual family.
Right.
I've got a plan.
Yes.
I've got a purpose.
Amen.
Maybe some people don't like that. Maybe you don't want me to say that. You think I'm trying to point you out. I'm really not. I'm just saying, you know, every day we get challenged with distractions.
Yes.
But let's go to the local church and get our marching orders.
Amen.
Let's find out who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, and what we can do in Christ, and then let's start doing it.
Amen.
And me, myself, and I've got things that I can change. I've got things I can do better. We all do.
Yes.
Why are we here?
Yes.
Why are we a part of this body?
Yes.
Why do we want to become a member of this body?
Yeah.
To affect the kingdom of God.
Yes.
To find out who we are, the redeemed
yes.
of the Lord, and take this message to a lost and dying world.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Why don't you bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, we thank you. Father, my heart is to minister by the love of Jesus, not with condemnation. So may people see that Pastor Jay and I are endeavoring to show your love for the people, endeavoring to show your heart for the local church, endeavoring to show your heart to receive and to help this place grow so that your kingdom can flourish, so that people can come to know you as Lord and Savior. Your heart after your creation. Oh, para sukosh edede bokosha darabasikiete. Help us, Father, to see clearly, to let distractions down, and to give ourselves to your plan and your purpose in every area of our lives, especially in the place of the local church. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What I would like is, I want everybody to as far as the cameras go, just have them up to me to where you can't see the people raising hands or anything. So just point them toward me. And I would ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. But any person in this room that you would say, Pastor Debbie, God's dealing with me to lay down distractions and to be here in my local church, to help in my local church. If that's you, and just like I said, He's dealing with me to lay down distractions and to help in my local church. To get this message for myself and to take it out into my world, to my home, to my work. If you have a conviction today, I would just ask you to raise your hand if that's you. Thank you. Maybe you've already made that commitment. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Maybe you've already made that commitment, but God's particularly dealing with you. Okay. Father, I ask for strength. I ask for revelation for these who raise their hand on the areas that they can lay down, on the areas that they can pick up the plow to help. I ask you, Father, that you would help them see who they are, what they have, what they can do. I ask, Father, for this entire congregation, that our eyes would be open to tweaking, even in this local church. Show Pastor Jay and I areas that we can tweak and we can do better. Show us in this local church how we can be in one accord and be assembled together for your plan and your purpose. And if we're out beyond that in any way, if we're missing that in any way, show us, Father, your plan and your purpose in this local assembly so that we can take it out into our homes and our works. In Jesus' name.